Brother David has asked me to do the reading this morning for his sermon. If you turn with me in your copy of God's Word to 2 Timothy 3. Hi, Brother David. Yes. 2 Timothy 3. I love the sound of pages turning. All right. Follow along in your copy of God's Word. I'm reading from the New King James Version. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. Verse 10, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Father, for your word. We look forward to Brother David's exposition of this word to us this day, Lord. And may we not be among those that are defined and described in the first portion of this passage, those that do not follow you. Lord, may we be like those described in the second portion of this passage. So guide us, Father, in the ways of righteousness and into faith in your word. Bless Brother David as he comes. Give him the words that you would have us to hear, and may we apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Dennis. The title of this sermon is The Blessings of a Godly Pastor. Now, you may wonder how I came to that, but we'll get to that presently. The pastor where I was first really got active in church, became a Christian, and was baptized was Pastor James Jones. I learned a lot under Pastor Jones. And every time I hear the term vicarious penal substitution, I just get a warm place in my heart. He taught a lot. The pastor when Laurie and I were married, those many years ago, was Q.T. Curtis. And every time I read the end of the book of Jude, the last two verses, I think of Q.T. Curtis. Because he would end every sermon that I could remember on one knee, quoting that beautiful benediction in his North Carolina country drawl, But he loved the Lord, and he was a blessing as well. So when we think of the blessings of a godly pastor, this is not meant to make Eric's head swell, but I do want to take time today thanking God for giving us such a pastor. And Eric has been a blessing to us. And this passage really lays out in a lot of ways how that might be so when we look at the life of Paul and Timothy. Now, this is 2 Timothy. This is the second letter Paul writes to Timothy. This is the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote because he's in prison. You can read in the next chapter, chapter 4, he understands his time is very short on this earth. He could have written to any number of people. He could have written to Titus. He could have written to Rome or Corinth or Thessalonica, any number of churches. But he chose to write to his son in the faith, Timothy. And for that purpose, to equip him in the work that is ahead for Timothy. So when we look at this passage, keeping in mind, I'm going to use, sometimes I'll mention Pastor Eric, sometimes godly pastor. To me, they're very interchangeable because God has richly blessed us with Pastor Eric. For a church our size, we are blessed beyond measure with him and his wonderful family as well. So we also have three other men that are called to the pastorate. And I want us to use this sermon, hopefully, as an opportunity to encourage not only Pastor Eric, but our associate pastor Jacob, Jeremy as well, Caleb. We want to encourage them in preparing for the work of the pastorate, because this is what the Apostle Paul is doing in the life of Timothy. The second letter and the first as well, Paul is equipping Timothy for the work ahead. He knows his ministry is coming to a close, but Timothy's is still yet to come. He's operating currently in Ephesus. Church tradition tells us Timothy will continue in Ephesus and eventually be martyred in the streets of Ephesus. So when we look at chapter 4 and verse 5, you'll see where Paul tells Timothy to be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. So when we read these passages, we can read through this and think, well, I'm not a pastor. What does this apply to me? But it applies to us very much because the equipping of the pastor is done in order to equip us. Amen? A godly pastor has a fruitful ministry for the Lord, equipping his people that he is the under-shepherd for, preparing and equipping them to become adequate, complete, perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work, as you read in verse 17. So one of the first things we read in this section that the Apostle Paul is warning Timothy in verse 1, verses 1 through 5. He's warning Timothy of what is yet to come. Perilous times will come. And we can think about the time, when that might be, whether it's at that time or in our day or even further into the future. But the point is, the Apostle Paul is equipping Timothy, preparing him for obstacles, for opposition, recognizing that this is what confronts him. He did this really from chapter 1. He mentions that. If you look back at chapter 1 at verse 7, he's saying, he's talking about how we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but join with me in the sufferings for the gospel. So Paul, from chapter 1 of this book, he's equipping Timothy, just as Pastor Eric equips us, warns us, helps us in the day-to-day when we meet as a fellowship, a body of Christ. He brings forth the word of God and draws from it warnings, commandments, promises, all the truths of God's word, because there's truth in the word of God, and we see this throughout this passage of Scripture, especially here, but all through the Bible. Our pastor draws from God's word. He doesn't go to man's reason, but he draws from Scripture, giving us warnings. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing here for Timothy. Not only that, not only does he give warnings, but the godly pastor also gives an example. You see that in verse 10, where he says, you have carefully followed my doctrine and manner of life. This is so very important. Our pastor, Eric, does not lead us simply with words. He leads us with example. He is a worker. He has been a blessing. He is faithful. When he calls us to witness, he is a witness. When he calls us to be faithful to God's word, he is faithful to God's word. We need to thank the Lord for the people and the men and the women that God has given us, but the pastor sets the tone. We see this in the world at large, where churches, so many churches, have turned from once being faithful for the gospel of Christ to turning away from it to their own imaginings. I thank the Lord that we have a pastor that seeks to lead us in obedience to the word of God. This is not automatic. If you don't travel, you may think every church is like this. I tell you no. Unfortunately, there are churches today that people don't even bother to bring the Bible. Protestant churches that don't bother to bring the Bible. And after they've been exposed to skyscraper preaching, they leave as hungry and barren as they were when they attended. Skyscraper preaching, by the way, is story on top of story on top of story. We don't get that, praise the Lord. We get the meat, and we praise God for that. So he warns, but not only does Pastor Eric warn us and give us an example, as we see in this chapter, he tells it the way it is. He's a straight shooter. He might be blunt, even to excess sometimes. But, well, I can't say he's perfect. We praise God for him, but we can all be that way for sure. I know I am. But look at verse 12 where he's talking about, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now here is the Apostle Paul working with Timothy by letter, equipping him to be a minister for the gospel, to continue in the ministry. He's not soft-pedaling it at all, is he? He's telling him the way it is, that this is what confronts you. This is what you're going to encounter. And that's the way it is in our churches more and more, that we see that we are going to encounter persecution. And to say anything other is misleading to people. So when we call our young people or adults to faith in Christ that are not yet Christians, we're reminded that Jesus himself said, count the cost, because there is a cost involved. Now, we believe as Christians that the gains far outweigh what we may receive in this world through persecution. But nevertheless, Jesus said, count the cost. And that should be done, because that is certainly what the Apostle Paul is warning Timothy about. And he is not using this time with Timothy because Timothy is the greatest. We don't certainly know, but we know he had physical problems. Paul had told him to take some wine for his stomach. We know he had timidity problems. He was told, don't be ashamed. Don't let people make you ashamed of your youth. So Timothy was not a perfect candidate either, but he was faithful and he was willing and he served. And Paul poured into him here in this last letter that he wrote while on earth. Paul writes this letter to Timothy, equipping him to be a pastor. Because Paul knew that he was going to pass away, but the work would still continue. You know, how long? No one knows. But the work must continue, and Paul is doing all he can to equip Timothy for that regard. And not only does he give the truth in verse 12, in verse 13 he says much the same thing. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So he's laying it out for Timothy. This is what it faces you. This is what you can be prepared for. And in the same way, Pastor Eric is equipping us, preparing us for life in this world, this situation that we are in at this moment in the world. Not globally always, but in the encounters that we have, when we part as a church, we go out into the community in all kind of different ways, over even different states. And yet, we have been equipped through the preaching of the Word of God by Pastor Eric to be a blessing to us, to prepare us and equip us to move forward through the week until we gather together again. So this is another one of the blessings of a godly pastor, that he equips us, he warns us, he sets an example for us. This and so many other things that a godly pastor does for his church really are for the glory of God. And that's what we want to understand, that when we see Pastor Eric working, it should be a spur to all of us that, well, I need to do that as well. You know, the Protestant work ethic, I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but I really believe and have been taught that that's one of the signal factors that made America as great as it is. That the early Americans, the early church in America, took to heart what Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says. And it says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That single verse was so instrumental in the early America that people, regardless if you're a blacksmith or a doctor, if you're a window washer or whatever it may be, if you're just raising children, you're to do it for the glory of God. You're to do it expecting a benefit, because that's exactly what verse 24 says. Verse 24 says, knowing that you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We need that kind of thinking in the world today, in the church, to be excellent for the glory of God. It's shameful to see someone who claims the name of Christ and yet they do things half-hearted. It's almost sickening to hear that. We should be excellent for the glory of God. Whatever we choose to do, do it for the glory of God. Seek to be excellent. Doesn't mean you have to be the best, but it means you need to do your best. And that's what the early church did, and what an example to us, early America, living out that passage of Scripture. And so should we as well. So when we take to heart the example the Pastor Eric gives, we should follow along because he is a worker. We need to be workers. It's really daunting when you see someone that's lazy. I used to be a manager for years and had a boss, an excellent boss that was very kind to me. We had good conversations and we agreed that you cannot manage laziness out of somebody. It is to the bone. If somebody is lazy, it's almost undoable. So this is where we plead for you. And I'm not saying anyone here is lazy. I don't know. I'm just saying that, you know, we need to be excellent for the glory of God, to do our best, to not be half-hearted in what we do. We read in the book of James where it's speaking of being double-minded, you know, to waffle back and forth. You know, be consistent, be committed, and follow the example of our Pastor Eric in these matters. He is so forthright in preaching the Word of God. You know, he may not always be right, but he's always convinced. You know, and that's what we need. And praise God for that. Praise God. You know, I've gone around with him as much as anybody. But I love him dearly and am grateful for what God has done because we are stronger for the conflict because we never did it out of hatred. We did it out of iron, really, trying to sharpen iron. And that's what we need to be as believers. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing here with Timothy. He's laying it out for Timothy exactly the way it is. Perilous times are coming. That phrase you can understand as harsh or dangerous. It's the same word that was used in speaking about the Gadarene demoniac. That's how rough that word is. Perilous, dangerous, harsh times are coming. And they are. And they are here. You know, we are experiencing things in our world today that weren't even thought of just 10 years ago. The whole transgender agenda is really amazing explosion of that in America. And yet Scripture is clear about that. So we praise God that our pastor is courageous in preaching the truth of the Word of God. And as we look at these verses, we want to recognize and understand the example, the blessings of a godly pastor, because that's what we have here at New Life Baptist Church. Again, we were so thankful for what God has equipped us with and prepared us with, because verse 14 really, really speaks to that. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So the Apostle Paul is telling him, he's spurring him on, not to be content, not to be complacent, but to move on, to continue in your learning. You have not yet arrived, and neither have we. But some of us, sometimes we can give in to that. I know I'm certainly susceptible to that. The idea that, I've done enough, I've read enough. No, our pastor spurs us on to it. The idea of continuing to focus on Scripture, to recognize and understand we have more to learn, we have more to apply, we have more to glean from God's Word. It never, never runs dry. And because of that, he is continually, as a godly pastor, seeking to see us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because of that and so many other reasons, we need to come alongside Pastor Eric and also Pastor Jacob, who likewise is so faithful in his work, so sacrificial in what he's doing, single-minded in evangelism and wanting to grow and become more like Christ, to encourage Jeremy and Caleb likewise in their pursuit of becoming a pastor. This is difficult work, and we are so thankful that God has equipped us with these men at this this time. There's so many churches today that are bereft of leadership that is godly, that seeks to obey and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. And not only that, are we to continue, but verse 15, he goes on to commend Timothy, you know, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Our pastor preaches the need for salvation. Do you know how rare that is in America today? There are churches that never mention the need for salvation, that never call people to repent of their sins and to turn in faith to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We are blessed, and we need to protect this very fact that we have a pastor so focused on God's word, seeking people to come to Christ, even through tears. I praise God for the tears of Pastor Eric over his people. He is a shepherd or an under-shepherd who loves his sheep, and he takes that seriously, and I praise God for that. He is not part-time in any way. He is committed to us, and we likewise need to be committed to him, thanking God for the gift of a godly pastor. Because when we recognize and understand what God has given us, what he is enabling us to become through the leadership of a godly pastor, we are benefited by that very much. And I want to close with a passage in verses 16 and 17, because this is the heart of our pastor, Pastor Eric. A godly pastor is focused on the Word of God, where it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know, that speaks not only of inspiration, but it speaks of authority. Because it is from God, the Word of God is our authority. And our pastor continually emphasizes that. The Bible is not a book to be read and looked at as any other book, but is to be read and understood and obeyed and believed as it is the Word of God. We need to have that same heart that our pastor has for the Word of God. He loves God's Word. They said of John Bunyan that you could cut him and he would bleed Bible. Now, that's not literal, so please understand. But he was immersed in Scripture, and there's been others through the years that have done that. And I think and am convinced that the love that so many of us have for God's Word is due to Pastor Eric, because he is setting the example weekly how important it is not just to read the Bible, but to believe the Bible, to obey the Bible, and to recognize that God's word is a blessing. It is a gift from God himself. Is the word there inspired? Really is a word that the Apostle Paul made up, and it speaks to God breathed. That's what Scripture is. Now listen real quick. I want to ask, how strenuously, how fervently should we love the Word of God? And it says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word. Thank you. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That we have that sort of heart for God's Word, to recognize it and to love it and desire it as newborn babes. I love the sound of babies in our church. I tell you that is a sign of life. Because when churches stop having babies, churches don't have babies, but you know what I'm saying. when babies start being in churches, that's a terrible sign. We have been blessed by babies, and we're so grateful for young families. Because that is the future. And our pastor recognizes that and is encouraging us to live obedient to Christ, to recognize and to continue to be obedient to God's word above all things. It's so wonderful when we have such a focus on Scripture that when we encounter false teaching, it's identifiable. It's recognizable because we have God's word. But those that fail to embrace God's word, they can be led into all kinds of error. And that's what the old saying says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And we're seeing that in the world today because we're seeing so many people who are not standing for God's word. So the whole focus of the passage that I was looking at is, and it's Pastor Eric's desire as well, that we would be fully furnished or complete, that the man of God would be complete or perfect, mature, fully equipped or furnished for every good work. Because we are called to service. When Christ saves us, he saves us to serve. And our pastor is a servant, first and foremost. And likewise with Jacob and our other men that desire to be pastors, they recognize and understand that's not a position to lord it over others. It's a position of service for the glory of God. So as we look at these passages, I just hope and pray that we would grow in our thankfulness to God for what he has equipped us with. Because not only do we have these men, we have other elders, Aaron and Kevin, that they're godly men. I'm so grateful for them coming alongside, serving as elders. What a blessing for a church our size to have men of this caliber. And our deacons, likewise, are godly men. We have Les and Seth and Dwayne, and they serve so faithfully, and they are such godly men. I've been blessed every time I'm in their presence, not because they're perfect, but because God is working in them through his Holy Spirit by his word. And I pray today that as we move forward, we would recognize the need to be a witness. As Pastor Eric is an example to us in that, we want to call people today who do not know Christ to recognize and their need for a Savior, to be coming to Christ, to repent of your sins, to turn to him for salvation and for eternal life, and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, God has great things ahead for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "For the Lord himself will descend with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." If you know Jesus Christ, this is your future. If you do not know Christ, we plead with you, come to Christ. Do not delay. Come to Christ, we ask. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, God, for your equipping of us, the blessing you have given us and given us godly pastor and other deacons and elders, likewise, that are such godly men, and their families, the service they give so faithfully, Lord. I praise you for it. I'm so thankful, God, for how you've prepared us and equipped us by their example, by their service, by their warnings. And I pray, God, we would take it to heart, thanking you, God, for what you have done, that we would be able to go forth as a result of their faithfulness to you, fully equipped for every good work. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.